This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD streaming audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring. Full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You know, I like to change my fantasy team names like once a day. I think I'm going to change my team name to legal tampering. One of my favorite oxymorons, legal tampering, right? Because free agency is already hot and heavy and off the chain. I want to start with, remember those conversations? I'm old enough to remember when running backs were disposable and replaceable. They were a dime a dozen, and they were having Zoom calls and therapy sessions and focus groups and group chats about how undervalued they are. And today, can't tell. Today, running backs are having a resurgence. Running backs on the move. We got to lead off with, I think the kids call it nasty work. They call it nasty work. I mean, like Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles feels like what the kids call nasty work. Like, ooh, like the Eagles going and getting Saquon Barkley and further making Giants fans' lives miserable. Howie Roseman paying up for a running back after he watched his running back, at least last year's leading rusher, DeAndre Swift, go and join the Chicago Bears, who have been busy so far this offseason. Eagles didn't stop there, though. They got Bryce Huff, the defensive end from the Jets. They're in the mix on Xavier McKinney from the Giants. But I wanted to start off with Saquon Barkley, though, man. What a huge pickup for the Eagles. What a devastating blow to Big Blue.
Ooh. Oh, I mean, okay, so all the things you said about running back off the top, you're right. They did have a lot of Zoom calls about it, not because they question their own value. They know they're valuable, and they know the hypocrisy involved where you want a running back who could be on the field for three downs. That's what they're looking for. Hey, I know you can run the ball, but can you catch it? Okay, I can be a part of the passing game. Okay, that's good. Okay, how are you on blitz pickup? Oh, I got to add that to my game. Good. Good on blitz pickup. Well, can you run between the tackles? Yeah, I can do that too. I can run inside running, outside, whatever. I don't fumble, all that stuff. They know they're valuable. Their question is, why don't you pay up when it's time to pay me from my team? Why do you play this year-to-year game? Why do you franchise me some years and then say, no, we're not going to franchise you? So they're a valuable part of football. They're still not getting the money that they deserve. The only reason these teams are scrambling for running backs now is because of the inequities of the system that they've created, where all these running backs are not valued financially by their teams. They go on the open market and get a little bit more than what their teams would pay them. That being said, the Giants, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? How do you let Saquon Barkley, he's your whole offense. It's clear when Saquon Barkley is out there, they're a much better offense. Daniel Jones is much better when Saquon Barkley is there as either a runner or a check down guy. Because he's a check down guy who takes it to the house. I love this signing for the Philadelphia Eagles. It makes me question. It makes me question the Giants' logic on this. Oh, what a miss! They went in. They just took your heart. He's the heart of the offense as a running back. in 2024, they lost the heart of their offense. They would have been better off losing Daniel Jones than losing Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and that's what they chose to sign. No, I love it for the Eagles. I mentioned fantasy football. They have a fantasy football offense. Okay, a quarterback, receiver, tight end, and running back. And even though Jason Kelce retired, a big hole in the middle. I think they extended Landon Dickerson, if I'm not mistaken. They've been pretty busy. They've been very busy.
And Michael, let me ask you this question real quick. I don't want to go too far down this Eagle slash rabbit hole, but do you think that they'll know that Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia will know how to use this weapon in the offense? Like, you think you got Jalen Hurts, you got Saquon Barkley, you got Devontae Smith, you got AJ Brown, you got so many freaking weapons. You got a great offensive line.
I have no doubts. I have no doubts. Maybe we might see fewer tush pushes. I have no doubts. Who has he had? Saquon Barkley's not a committee. There's no committee when Saquon Barkley's your running back. You'd have to be a fool.
My Eagles? What? Down the stretch?
You'd have to be a fool not to know how to use Saquon Barkley. And you'd have to be a fool to pay Saquon Barkley what they paid him and have your coach and your staff not use him properly. I will just point this out. Just one last note about the running backs. No Super Bowl winning team since 2013. No Super Bowl winning team since 2013 has paid its leading rusher more than $2.5 million. Having said all that, love that for the Eagles. I love Josh Jacobs to the Packers. I think Josh Jacobs has a lot of tread on his tires. I love the Packers adding him and maybe even pairing him with Aaron Jones for Jordan Love. Right. Jordan Love's got tight ends. Jordan Love's got running backs. Jordan Love's got receivers. Green Bay, when you couple, listen, you and I, we love us in Detroit. And Green Bay made the playoffs last year. Detroit's going to have a tough time holding off Green Bay in that division. Chicago's rebuilding again. Minnesota, we'll get to them in a second, just took a huge hit. Green Bay's coming for sure. And then you got some other interesting ones, more about the vacancies that they create and who they might be replacing than anything. Tony Pollard to Tennessee, which was interesting from the standpoint of like Tajay Spears felt Tony Pollard-ish. So that's an interesting combination there. But
Which part?
Signing Tony Pollard or letting Derrick Henry go? Talk about heart and soul. Which part?
Exactly. Why would you? You got Derrick Henry. Why? I'm going to really give you the spirit of how I feel about it. It's not a why. How come?
Why come?
There you go. Even better. Why come you let Derrick Henry leave and you bring in Tony Pollard? It doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense to me. I'm trying to make it make sense, and it's totally over my head. So you help me out here. Why does that make sense?
I don't know. I guess we got to see what Derrick Henry gets, presumably from a team like the Cowboys or the Ravens. If it's more than 3 years and $24 million, which sounds similar to what DeAndre Swift got from the Bears, if it's more than that for a 30-year-old Derrick Henry, who's definitely still got some tread left on his tires, then it is definitely a questionable move by our guy Rand Carthen and the Tennessee Titans, because Tony Pollard is not an upgrade from Derrick Henry. Unless Derrick Henry just didn't want to be there for any number and wanted to go to a contender because he didn't want to be part of a rebuilding Titans organization with however many years he's got left. But if Derrick Henry goes somewhere and gets, say, Saquon Barkley-esque money, even at 30 years old, then I do understand it, which, again, goes back to the theme we started with. I do understand it in terms of the economics that a lot of teams apply to the running back position, where it's like, hey, we want Tajay Spears to be the lead. Maybe it's a committee. Maybe Tajay Spears is the lead guy. Maybe Tony Pollard kind of does some Tajay Spears-like things, or, you know, Brian Callahan, a new coach, uses him in unique ways as more of a weapon than a running back. And maybe they find a power complement to Tajay Spears in the draft or for cheap. Maybe something like that. Maybe they bring back a Deontay Foreman, I don't know, who played in Tennessee once upon a time. Maybe they do that and go committee-wise and save money at running back as opposed to paying Derrick Henry. And you made this point earlier. All right, you talk about running backs not wanting to go somewhere else to have to get love and get paid. Maybe Derrick Henry just don't want the Titans pay cut. Maybe he'll take less to go pay for somebody else, but he ain't taking less from the Tennessee Titans. It could be those types of politics at play.
Yeah, because I meant too much to you guys. I meant too much. I've seen too much. I've meant too much. Why would I do that? Why would I take a pay cut? And sometimes that does factor into it. I just hope that this doesn't factor in, Michael. You know, you hear this in a lot of sports where and fans kind of feed into it. And I think sometimes coaches and general managers believe it, too. What will a fan say? A hating fan's playbook. This is number one in a hating fan's playbook. If you happen to win a division title, you win a championship in your first year as a coach or second year as a coach or general manager, a hating fan will say, oh, you know what? You did that with insert previous regime name, their players. Mm-hmm. So? Hey, I won with their players. So what you're saying is they couldn't win with their own players. So I came in and won with their players. I'm supposed to apologize for that? I hope it's not a case. What I'm getting at is I hope it's not a case of Rand Carthon saying, hey, I need to bring in my own guys because Derrick Henry represents the regime of Mike Vrabel and John Robinson.
The old guard.
And it's a new day in town.
Rand don't strike me as that kind of guy. Yeah, I don't think he cares. I think he just wants to win. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
Well, if he's trying to win, he should have kept Derrick Henry over Tony Pollard.
Well, if the Cowboys are really trying to win, if they're really all in, didn't Dak Prescott say he wanted to see what Jerry Jones means by all in? Go get Derrick Henry. Like, that's such a no-brainer. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing? I mean, this should already happen. I mean, legal tampering don't really mean you got to wait till noon. We know that. You ain't really got to wait till noon to start talking to these people. Derrick Henry and, I mean, the Ravens less so, only because of how the Ravens typically approach the running back position in general. But then again, I never thought I'd see today Howie Roseman would pony up for a running back like that. But okay, the Ravens feel like less of a fit, even though they're obviously a contender and don't have a star running back. Speaking of star, it just feels like Derrick Henry, Cowboys, it makes too much sense. It's too much like right for that to happen. But you know who I wonder? I think we covered all the running backs that were on the move today. I don't think we forgot anybody. If we did, blame my head and not my heart. who might be, I don't want to speak too soon, but who might be kind of like in a running back type position right now? Wide receivers, and specifically one wide receiver who is a 1B and a number one talent-wise on probably most teams, but T. Higgins happens to be on the Cincinnati Bengals, so we have Ja'Marr Chase as their one. Cincinnati tagged T. Higgins. Today we find out, reportedly, that T. Higgins wants a trade. And I get why he would want to trade. He wants his bread, you know? He doesn't want to be on the franchise tag. Franchise tag, it sucks. Let's face it. It's more of a weapon than a tool. Used to be a tool. Some cases it works as a tool. Now it's more weaponized than anything. T. Higgins, though, if I'm another team, and I like T. Higgins, I like his talent. If I'm T. Higgins, though, man, I'll be honest with you. If I'm another team, I'll be honest with you. I'm not trading for and paying T. Higgins.
Why?
Not with 8 to 9 potential first round wide receivers coming into the league this year. Like, it feels like paying a wide receiver, a free agent wide receiver, or acquiring by a trade.
Yeah.
Right. Or trading with draft capital for a talented wide receiver like T. Higgins, a proven wide receiver like T. Higgins, and then paying him the contract he's going to want versus similar to quarterback. Why not start with a rookie contract with one of these stud receivers coming out of college, and they seem to be coming out year in and year out? Like, I just don't see a world in which I'm a team. Now, just because I'm saying this, any minute it'll cross that somebody has traded for T. Higgins and signed him to a huge contract. But if I'm a team, I would not invest resources in acquiring somebody else's number two wide receiver to make him my number one. I just go draft and develop my own.
Okay, you could. You said draft and develop. But what if you're not in the development state of mind?
Stage?
You just.
What if you're the Buffalo Bills, maybe?
I want a guy who can come in and I don't want to wait a couple of years. Because you know what? You tell me this. I could be oversimplifying. I probably am. But hey, we're just freestyling here on a Monday. I think part of the draft, when you look at receivers coming into the draft, yeah, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is one of those guys, top of the draft. I called that. You struggled with that prediction. But I told you from the beginning that Ja'Marr Chase is going to come in out of LSU.
You totally did. You totally did.
I told you he was going to crush it.
I was like, oh, Penei Sewell. Let me get Penei Sewell.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's only – I was like, you know, you can't wait till later in the draft to get offensive lineman. I remember that. Get him with the fifth pick overall. I remember that.
I'm glad you remember that.
Like it was yesterday.
I'm glad you remember.
Like it was yesterday. So, absolutely.
I think maybe the theme
is – Can people hear sarcasm on podcasts?
Okay. I got it all wrong.
You can see our faces.
I got Mike.
You can see
it was just the opposite.
Yeah, just making
it
sure.
It was just the opposite of what I said. So I'm lying.
Just making sure.
Michael Smith had it, and I was
I'm lying.
Time,
oh, so yeah. I'm lying. Oh, that's not what you said to me.
Oh, I'm lying now. Anyway, look, LSU receivers.
Just make a decision.
In the first
just
round.
Just make a decision. Yeah, right?
You're good, right?
Neighbors, Thomas. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all these guys, like, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. Oh, if you take a guy from LSU, you're probably in pretty good shape. But I think a lot of these guys, the young guys, drafting a receiver.
Or the Ohio State University. Come on now.
Yep. But in a lot of cases, the younger players, it's like a slot guy. You can get a slot guy, plug him in. And a slot guy will just feel like it will feel like he's been there for 5 or 6 years. But think about some of the players you could trade for. Like A.J. Brown changed Philadelphia. You already know what he is. You trade for him,
right?
And then he just kind of blossoms. I think T. Higgins can have
Moore.
That effect on a team.
Oh, I'm sorry.
DJ
I spoke
Moore.
Too soon. Wait, hold on. Spoke too soon. Green Bay is cutting Aaron Jones. This is all happening in real time. Live TV ain't nothing like it, or live whatever this is. Mentioned
it's both.
Josh
it's
Jacobs with Aaron Jones. Like, nah, Aaron Jones, see you, Josh Jacobs. It's his show. But I would say, So, yeah, you're right. And then, okay, so this is a great rebuttal to what I was saying about just draft and develop one. Okay, so the trajectory of Josh Allen's career was changed by the acquisition of Stephon Diggs from Minnesota. Jalen Hurts was changed by A.J. Brown coming from Tennessee. And obviously Tennessee's fortunes were changed. And Tennessee thought they could draft and develop a guy, you know, Treylon Burks. How'd that work out, replacing A.J. Brown, to your point? What was another one? Oh, and D.J. Moore was supposed to do that for Justin Fields last year. I mean, he had a good season.
Kind of was.
But it was the same principle. It was the same principle.
He was.
Like, let's
Problem
get a big-time proven wide receiver. Yeah. Let's get a big-time proven wide receiver.
By the way, you want to
there's something to be said for that.
You want a quick prediction of where Aaron Jones, who was just cut, we just found this out, he was cut by Green Bay. I think he's going to
where New England.
Where
he's
going to go? New England. Okay. Here's my logic on it. New England has a lot of former Cleveland people and former Packers people. So if you see a good player who has some association to Cleveland recently or Green Bay, look to New England. Elliot Wolf, you know his father, Hall of Famer Ron Wolf, still has a lot of sources and connections to Green Bay. I think Aaron Jones is going to the Patriots. I know they picked up Gibson today, but I think Aaron Jones, I can see him in New England where, you know, Alex Van Pelt, they want a lot of good running backs. So you
going to
have a lot of running backs in New England, a lot of good ones.
Which Gibson? They got the Patriots. Antonio Gibson? Oh, I missed that one. See, look, I didn't realize that. See, it's hard to keep up with this shit right now. That's a good signing. I like Antonio Gibson. If he can hold on to the ball, I like him. Wide receiver, converted to running back. That's a big part of it, right? See, that's a big part of it. But he's a nice weapon. I like him. That's an interesting signing. So you got Aaron Jones, Antonio Gibson, and Ramondre Stevenson still in the backfield?
Ramondre.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Not a bad.
That'd be nice for whoever the quarterback is going to be. That's nice for whoever the quarterback is.
Go old school. Yeah. Old school, a bunch of backs.
We went 20 minutes in and ain't talking about quarterback. That must be a record.
Ooh, that's coming next.
Dog, I wish I was related to Kirk Cousins. Because I'm telling you, man.
I know.
Let me hold something. We talked about this man last week. And, I'm pretty sure the Vikings weren't as ill-informed as I was. Because I was like, oh, this feels like this might be a negotiating tactic. Shit. That man went out and got him 4 years at $180 million. $45 million a year. He was told there would be no math. $50 million signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed. I mean, you know, who cares about the particulars? The Falcons have committed to Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. Soon to be 36-year-old, coming off a torn Achilles, Kirk Cousins. It's all monopoly money anyway. If you're just talking about from a football standpoint, I like it. I like it. The OC there runs the system. That we broke this whole thing down about Kirk Cousins as the patron saint of that, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel offensive tree that was born in Washington when they were all on Mike Shanahan's staff with Kirk Cousins. And so Raheem Morris, who also was on that staff, if you recall, Morris gets a quarterback to help him win right now. So the South got something to say. And Atlanta is definitely going to have a say in who wins the NFC South, I beg your pardon, with Kirk Cousins throwing to Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and handing off to Tyler Algier on occasion. Not as much as Bijan Robinson. Goodbye, Arthur Smith. I like it. It's a great fit. It's a great fit. And honestly, it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota pivots. Because Minnesota's sitting here with this great situation for a quarterback as well. Kevin O'Connell, offensive mastermind. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. You know, maybe it's Chandler. They'll find a running back. They went and got Jonathan Greenard on defense. They're letting Danielle Hunter go. They went and got Jonathan Greenard from Houston to rush the passer on defense. That was a playoff team a year ago before Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles this year. Where do the Vikings go, and what's the domino effect there? Because the Vikings may end up having to go quarterback in the draft potentially earlier than maybe the prospect would have otherwise commanded or earlier than projected. But so that's two huge dominoes. Atlanta fills this quarterback vacancy and leaves a gaping one in Minnesota, Big Mike.
Yeah, Michael. I mean, this is there's so many layers to the signing, fascinating layers to the signing of Kirk Cousins by the Falcons. One, it makes me wonder about teams. We've already talked about Saquon Barkley, and the Giants apparently didn't make an offer to Saquon Barkley. And for the Vikings, I know Cousins got hurt during the season, but this is a home game for you. You know what his contract status is. You know what he's looking for. You know what you have and what you don't have. You know what the renaissance was for Kirk Cousins once Kevin O'Connell got there. He was having a great season before he got hurt. He had a great season last year, too. I mean, Kevin O'Connell was really a gifted offensive mind, offensive play caller. It was a good fit for Cousins. I just wonder what teams would it help you if I just gave you like a little bit of insight of how other teams value your own talent? What are you thinking? How do you let Kirk Cousins walk out the door and you can turn around and say, well, I'm not going to pay him that much money? You didn't have to. Once you, every day you get closer to the open market, that's another day where it's going to be harder for you to sign your own player. So if you had come to Kirk Cousins during the season and offered him a good contract, you wouldn't be sitting here looking around saying, well, wait a minute, this quarterback market is drying up a little bit. And, We may be left with somebody who is a lot less than what we had in Kirk Cousins. That's one thing that stands out. And the other thing, Cousins, we talk a lot about GOATs, GOAT quarterback. Oh, that guy's a GOAT. Tom Brady's a GOAT. Patrick Mahomes.
GOAT businessman. GOAT businessman. Oh, yeah.
look. You don't have to be. I like the people who are Kirk Cousins not going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's not even going to the Vikings Hall of Fame. But he has fashioned a beautiful career of financial management. Kirk Cousins has the best portfolio in the NFL. Wealth. I love what he's talking about. And not only generational wealth, he has shown you, your mama,
your cousins too. He has everybody. Made everybody. His like everybody like, and you know what? And then he, in typical rich person fashion, he don't wear it. He ain't wearing his money. I was gonna say about rich folks, right? Be the richest people in the world. You never know.
I'm telling you, Kirk Cousins. Everybody claim him. You want to talk about taking care of people. Everybody claim him. Oh, hey, man, I'm your fifth cousin. Like, what? I don't know you. He's invited to like 20 family reunions. Everybody wants him there. He gets the biggest pieces of chicken. He's at the head table. Everybody likes Kirk Cousins because he knows how to get – Kirk Cousins knows how to get money. Kirk Cousins is a great example for NFL players who are always talking about, hey, why aren't all contracts guaranteed? Cousins is at that lecture saying, I don't know what you're talking about. This TED Talk is not for me. I don't know who this is for, but it's not for me. Because all my stuff is guaranteed. I get my money. I'm happy for him. And I think it's
mine.
And it's not just about money. As you pointed out, it's a really, really good signing for the Atlanta Falcons. So now Atlanta has its quarterback.
Yeah, some people might look at that though and be like, "Oh, 4 years, $180 million for Kirk Cousins." I mean, for the free agent, you gonna overpay for everybody.
You know what
too. 36 is the new 26 at quarterback. Like he could fulfill this contract and still be a good quarterback.
And still have something left
by the time. Yeah, and still have something left. An Achilles injury is not the career ender that it once was. I mean, Yeah, you can raise your eyebrows at it, but it ain't my money. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, you know who
they needed a quarterback in the worst way.
You know who I think the Vikings might be looking at? I mean, if you look at the market a little bit, I don't know where you want to go next, but Atlanta.
Justin Fields?
Atlanta has its quarterback. Pittsburgh has its quarterback. Those are two destinations for Justin Fields that are now out. Just like that. Boom. Gone. Market dried up in both of those places. So if you're Chicago, where do you put Justin Fields? You can hold on to him, but that's awkward.
I don't know if you're trading him to Minnesota. And I get that, intra-divisional trades are not as taboo as I like to think they are. I'm sorry. If I'm Chicago, I'm not helping Minnesota. I'm not sending a quarterback to Minnesota. You better Brett Favre this shit and go around the way to get to Minnesota if that's where you want to go. But I'm not. Hey, I'm not.
What are you worried about? Wait, you got to know.
I don't want to mix up topics. I'm worried about the same thing the Denver Broncos ought to be worried about Russell Wilson. I'm worried about looking bad. I'm worried about somebody making me look bad. Now, look, one could say, well, hey, we know Justin Fields, and we know he ain't all that, so we ain't afraid of Justin Fields. Hell, as you know, the Patriots once traded Drew Bledsoe to the Buffalo Bills. So they could be like, oh, what are you worried about with Justin Fields for? But Justin Fields, I think it's fair to say, was not throwing to Justin Jefferson, was not throwing to T.J. Hawkinson, although I like Cole Kmet as well, and D.J. Moore last year, was not throwing to Jordan Addison on the other side. It wasn't being coached by Kevin O'Connell. So the last thing, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, that you are a Chicago Bears individual, that you want to see is Justin Fields realizing his potential in Minnesota. But what I wonder is, am I?
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
More enamored by the idea of Justin Fields than the NFL is, because why are all these quarterback dominoes falling and Justin Fields has yet... There doesn't seem to be any smoke or fire around a Justin Fields trade. He was supposed to be going home to Atlanta. What happened to that stupid-ass social media video? No disrespect, but the one that people made into like, oh, he said going home. There was a voice in the background that said, you ready to go home? And Justin Fields was in Atlanta. That was supposed to be a done deal not that long ago.
Oops. Look, you are. To answer your question.
Oh, you answered my question? I am. I'm more.
Yeah, I'm going to answer your question.
This is coming from a Buckeye. Yeah. So,
yes,
yeah,
it is.
You're keeping it a buck.
It's a Buckeye.
You're keeping it a buck.
It's coming from a Buckeye. I have determined after just a little bit of thought, a little bit more thought about the 2021 draft class. One of the worst quarterbacking class, not just the first round. Entire class.
What a
maybe
cautionary
one of the
tale.
Worst. One of the worst in the history of football. Like, Michael, everybody in the class. So those five quarterbacks in the first round, four of them are either on or about to be on their second teams. Four of the five in the first round. Then, we talk about the five. You know who the sixth quarterback taken in that draft was? Kellen Mond.
Refresh my memory. Oh, wow.
Kellen Mond. Out of football. He's out of football already. 1 year, one and done. Out of football. So you talk about six quarterbacks taken. And the number one guy, I mean, as you say, lowest of keys or highest of keys. Songs in the key of Trevor Lawrence's life. If you look at this, he has been sacked nearly 100 times in three seasons. And that's the best. That's the best of the best. He's supposed to be some generational prospect, and you know, look at him, he's a can't miss, and look at the size and the arm strength, and make all the cliches that we say about great quarterbacks every year, including this year. So are you too high on Justin Fields? Yes, based on the sample size, based on the batch that we got that he was a part of, yeah, you're probably too high.
Okay. All right. So the 21 draft quarterback class is just one big cautionary tale. Mac Jones' life came full circle, and it came at him fast. He is going back to Jacksonville, ways from, and not in the way that he always dreamed of. He's going back as a backup, which is insane. I can still remember him waddling down the stage on draft night, and everybody being like, if that ain't a Patriot, I don't know what is. I can still remember speculation about him being Kyle Shanahan's guy at three instead of Trey Lance. It's just life came at him fast. Okay, but let me say this, though. And this is coming from a person who loves the draft more than just about anything. If you look at those five guys. Trevor Lawrence was made out the best, number one overall. But he had to endure Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer damn near ruined him out the gate. Number two, Zach Wilson went to the Jets. I'll leave that there. I'm not saying he got, I'm not going to leave it there. Zach Wilson got his own problems, his own struggles, his own limitations. Maybe he was overhyped, but he went to the Jets. Okay, it's typically where quarterback careers go to die. If they don't go to New York to die, they go to Chicago to die. Justin Fields went to Chicago.
And you skipped, I don't over, think you can skipped say, over number three.
No, I know. I'm just there's two organizations that have struggled. I'm getting okay. there. But I'm saying, like, I don't think you can fairly say that Chicago has always done right by Justin Fields, okay?
That's
so
right.
Number three, Trey Lance. Probably shouldn't have been traded up four in the first place. In the first place, I beg your pardon. But his situation that he landed in, was not conducive to a quarterback that needed as much development as he did coming out of college. They needed a guy to step in and be an upgrade over a guy that had taken him to a Super Bowl and I believe a conference championship game as well. They needed him to come in and be able to play right away, as most of these young guys are expected to do. And nobody was more ill-equipped to do that than a guy coming out of the school he came out of, North Dakota State, coming out of North Dakota State through COVID, having barely played, then getting hurt as much as he did. Now, I don't believe that Trey Lance could play, but did he ever get a real chance to show it? And who's the last one I mentioned? Oh, and then Mac Jones. And then Mac Jones, we thought, went to a great situation. He went to New England. He's going to play with the greatest coach. He went to the greatest, played the greatest coach in NFL history. And he had Josh McDaniels for a second.
Yeah.
And then Bill Belichick made a decision that has nothing to do with Mac Jones, that is beyond Mac Jones's control, in putting Joe Judge and Matt Patricia in charge of the offense. He never recovered. So it's not only a cautionary tale, but it's honestly evidence, and we just focused on quarterbacks, it's evidence for why people say the draft is un-American. Or the draft, it should not be an NFL draft. And I love the NFL draft, but so much of it is out of these guys' control, especially quarterbacks who are going to teams who need quarterbacks and oftentimes going to shitty situations. Man, like, man, if I was a quarterback, if I was a top quarterback and I went to the combine and I was on a stage, I'd be like, yo, I just hope I slide to 24. I hope I slide to 32. Man, right. you want to go number one? Nope. Not me.
I do not want to go number one.
I mean, Caleb Williams was right that the Bears are a better team than their number one overall pick would suggest, because obviously they have Carolinas. But as Bryce Young out there worked out last year, you know, C.J. Stroud might be an outlier to go in that situation and turn around the way that he did. Anthony Richardson, I mean, for what we saw so far, so good. But it's like these five quarterbacks, it's not all their fault that four of them are failures and another one has been up and down.
Okay.
It's not all their fault. Okay. It's never all their fault. Because wait for it. I ain't said it in 2 weeks. They're all system quarterbacks. Okay. They're all system quarterbacks. It's not all their fault. Hey. Maybe they suck. Maybe they don't. I don't know.
No, they probably suck, though. They probably suck, even though both things can be true. Okay? It's not all their fault.
Okay. I'll meet you in the middle. Maybe they're not good enough to transcend their circumstances. How about that?
Yes.
There you go.
That's what I'm looking for. Exactly.
They're not transcendent.
That's what I'm looking for. Because now we've gone too far. I know what era I live in. I know what era I live in. See, I'm in the hybrid. I was raised in both. I was raised in the old school. Hey, you just got to figure it out. And then I'm a product of the new school, too. So I understand all the, hey, everybody's got to be comfortable. I get the 3-day or 2-day work weeks. I get that. I'm all on board with that. OK, like this whole thing, employees have to have things. They have to. They don't want to feel like they're working for you. It's a partnership. And let's have some games at work, and let's have some snacks, and let's have some long break times and all this stuff. This is good. This is good. All right, I understand it. But the bottom line is this. We've gone too far. We've gone too far. We're saying, oh, they need this. I gotta have the right head coach, and I gotta have the right ownership group, and I gotta have the right OC, and my offensive line's gotta be right, and I gotta have a good tight end. So, you know, just in case I run into trouble, I gotta have somebody in the middle of the field. It ain't always gonna be like that.
And no, it's not.
We talk about great quarterbacks.
It's not always be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about great quarterbacks. And I know over the eras, you look at some quarterback situations and they didn't have a lot. Whether it's Dan Marino going to the Dolphins. Oh, yeah. Don Shula is known for developing quarterbacks. He wasn't. You talk about Brett Favre going to Green Bay. Before Green Bay was known for quarterbacks, Brett Favre was there. And he thrived when he didn't have a lot around him.
What do you mean never a lot around him? Bullshit. Wait a minute. No, that's not the revisionist history. He had plenty around him in Green Bay.
When he first went there.
When he first went there, he went there with Reggie White. Like Reggie White, they went there the same year, if I'm not mistaken. Like, wasn't it 92?
I'm talking about offensively. I'm not offensively.
Offensively, he had one of the greatest coaching staffs of all time. Like, we look at all the coach head coaches who've come from that scheme. Sharp when he first went there?
So this is what we need, though. Okay. All right. Maybe Brett Favre's not.
It's the most important position. Yeah, probably not. Right. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay. Your overall point is valid.
I got to make sure. So before I draft you, I got to not check like five boxes. I got to check 15 boxes just to make sure you have success.
No, you don't have to check 15 boxes, but you do have to set them up for success. It's the most important position, but it's also the most dependent position. It's the most dependent position.
It's the most important position.
That don't make them soft.
It's the most dependent position, and it's also the most resilient position. You've got to be able to figure it out sometimes when people around you aren't the best. When the situation is not great, you still have to be able to figure something out.
Yeah, but Michael, the great ones, few and far between, do they have to figure it out to the level of the guys that go through dysfunctional organizations? There's a reason why most of the quarterbacks who are in the QB career graveyard, a lot of them have been through the same teams. It's the same teams over and over, with few exception of the ones that are missing. It's the Chicago QBs. It's the Jets QBs. It's the Browns QBs. It's the same organizations historically that have not supported quarterbacks properly. The same typically dysfunctional organizations with few exceptions. But here's what I do want to get to, though, if you don't mind.
All right, go ahead.
I do want to be optimistic. There is hope. There is hope. Because it wasn't that long ago, because I was trying to think of like recent drafts. Because every time we talk, we hype up all these quarterbacks, we got to remind ourselves a couple of these dudes going to be on a different team in a couple of years. Because there's a stat flying around about top five quarterbacks and how many have changed teams. Okay, so 2018, obviously, remember that was the one where Lamar went 32nd. Okay. Yep. And he was the last quarterback taken, obviously, in the first round.
And Baker went first.
In between, you had Josh Rosen, Josh Allen 7, Sam Darnold 3rd to the Jets, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen in the middle, okay? Josh Allen had great coaching. They got him Stephon Diggs, excuse me. All right, Saquon Barkley was the second pick in that draft. All right, so Baker Mayfield. It wasn't that long ago where, you know, I was pushing from here, but the Browns certainly were. I was kicking and pushing Baker Mayfield to the curb and out the door to make room for Deshaun Watson. Okay, I was Team Odell in that feud with Baker Mayfield, where I was like, this is me talking. Look, I will tell you when I'm right now. I'll tell you when I'm wrong. Baker ain't that good. Baker ain't all that. You know, Baker ain't that good, right? I said I was not a Baker guy, okay? Until I was at that game where he joined the Rams a day or two earlier and came in and beat the Raiders on Thursday Night Football. I was like, this dude,
awesome.
Man, I see why people
awesome
love him.
Awesome game and a miserable season.
Okay.
It was an awesome game.
He passes through after he leaves Cleveland. He goes to Carolina, okay, right? That was the next stop, was Carolina.
That's right. It was
Didn't
Carolina.
Didn't work out there.
And they cut him.
They cut him, okay? Because Carolina certainly got their shit together these days, right? He goes to Carolina. He goes to the Rams for a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, okay? Then he goes to the Bucks. And what did we say last year because of the, wait for it, the supporting cast that he was inheriting from Tom Brady, like that, like, oh, wait a minute. He could be this year's Geno Smith, who also passed through the Jets and had to go through a sojourn until he ended up, you know, hitting his stride in Seattle. He could be this year's Geno Smith. And sure enough, Baker Mayfield, congratulations, my brother, getting his $100 million bag. Well-deserved, well-earned. This dude was running scout team defensive end in Carolina on occasion, just for shits and gigs. But look at him now, right? So there's him. So now the next Geno Smith, and ironically, coincidentally, Oh, by the way, shout out to Mike Evans. Listen to the woman. Great job. Kirk Cousins moving with his wife's family. Mike Evans, listen to the woman. Okay, so the next Geno Smith could be Geno Smith's. Geno Smith's. Damn, I can't even talk, Michael. Michael Smith can't talk.
That's all right.
Geno Smith's predecessor in Seattle could be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, even though he's already been paid and then some, could be the next person who can have a testimony of, hey, all it takes is getting into the right situation. Because what I said I loved about Russell Wilson signing, the most attractive thing about Russell Wilson signing, is that they're getting him for $1.21 million, I believe it is, and the Broncos are paying him $39 million to pay for somebody else. So as I said last week, this trade, which is already being called the worst in NFL history, could get worse if Russell Wilson looks anywhere near the way he did in Seattle. Here's why I like the fit for the Steelers. First of all, it's a very Steelers signing. Very frugal.
Isn't it?
So on brand for the Steelers. So not only is Russell Wilson guaranteed $39 million this year, he's guaranteed a winning season because we know Mike Tomlin does not do losing seasons. But he can go to Pittsburgh, and this is why I'm optimistic. And you know I've had a lot of things to say about Russell Wilson that are not on the positive side. But in this situation, he can go there and not, if he's over this, you don't have to cook, Russ, just eat. There you go, that's a word. Russ don't have to cook. All he got to do is eat, okay? Throw it up to George Pickens. We'll see if Deontay Johnson is there. Maybe once in a while, find Pat Freiermuth over the middle or Darnell Washington over the middle once in a while. Hand it off to Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris behind hopefully an improved offensive line with a defense that can win games for the Steelers. Like, if Russ has realized that it doesn't have to all be about him, he could beat out Kenny Pickett for that job, and the Broncos could have egg on their face, and Russell Wilson could be the latest in the line of quarterbacks that says, you know what? I wasn't washed. I wasn't cooked. The situation was just dirty. It was just nasty for me.
Right. Look.
Why not?
I know we disagreed on it last week when we were trying to come up with these quarterbacks, and I put him as an average quarterback in the top 15 or 16 in the NFL, and you came up with people who you feel like are better than Russell Wilson. So I still think he's good. And even if I didn't think he was a good quarterback, I feel like
they paid him $1.2 million.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like most teams in the league should have been scrambling to talk to Russell Wilson. You can feel any way you want about the salary cap, and oh, it's so easy to create cap space. All I got to do is convert this into a roster bonus or a signing bonus. You can create some space. You ain't got to play that game with Russell Wilson.
Right.
If you can say, you get a quarterback.
Somebody else got that taken care of. Thank you, Denver.
He is literally the cheapest quarterback you can sign. There's no cheaper. There's no one cheaper. Not Gardner Minshew, not Jacoby Brissett. Nobody's cheaper than Russell Wilson, and he's still competent. He is a competent quarterback.
I think that's all he's got to be with Arthur Smith. In that offense, that's how I think it's,
and that's the other part of it. Arthur Smith is there. Arthur Smith, don't know about him as a head coach. I do know about him as an offensive coordinator and what he values and what the Steelers value. It's a good fit there. Smith,
it's a great
Smith,
fit. It's a,
and it's a Tomlin is a good fit. And then Smith, Tomlin, Russell Wilson is a good fit in Pittsburgh. And by the way, Russ, not only do you not have to cook, eat. You have to. I'm going to tell you what to eat. It's Pittsburgh. Eat pierogies. eat wings. Like subs.
Right.
Hey, don't get into this. You don't need a catchphrase there. Don't do like, you know, hey, let's ride. Let's get a.
No, none of that. Just fit in.
Know the audience.
Fit in.
Know the
this
audience.
This is an organization.
Hey, come on,
that's
man.
What I'm saying. Hey, conversely, I'm talking about the organizations that cycle through as Pittsburgh. They know how to do it. They do it the same way for generations. They know how to do it. Couldn't ask for a better situation for Russ. And contrary to what you may think, Michael Holly, I am.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Stone, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go. Give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory-smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Rooting for Russell Wilson. All right, Michael, my bet, your money. Ooh. Do the Chiefs three-peat right now? Chiefs of the field.
The field.
For a three-peat. Not that they've kept Chris Jones. They managed to keep the Chris Jones. They broke him off. Really? Okay. I told you.
Yeah.
I will not bet against Kansas City henceforth, now and forevermore.
Yeah. I know. I mean, look, if that's all it took, though, having the best quarterback or the best coach, then lots of teams over the years would have had, you know, three straight championships. It's never happened before in the merger.
Nope.
In the since 1970, it's never happened.
Since Green Bay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
or the NFL history since Green Bay.
For a reason. Difficult. I think it's just really, really hard to pull off. And Kansas City, rightfully so, back-to-back champions. But it's not like Kansas City is playing in a different league than everybody else. Kansas City is not. All of those games in the playoffs, save for the Dolphins game, those games are close and could have gone either way. And they worked out in the Chiefs' favor, but I think it's just too hard to go three straight. I'm going to take the field. I feel good about that.
History says you're right. Odds are that you're right, even though after Eric Armstead, that news, him refusing a pay cut, him about to get cut by the 49ers, nobody capes up for the 49ers more than me. I wouldn't put the 49ers above the Chiefs. I wouldn't put anybody above the Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs over the field, yes. And I know that the previous eight teams that tried to three-peat all failed. I think the Chiefs are going to be different. Them keeping Chris Jones was massive, just as big as that contract that he got. We'll see what happens with Legarius Sneed, but even if they trade him and reload with draft capital, like they always seem to draft and develop players. They have a system which Patrick Mahomes thrives in perfectly. And they're going to find a way to improve this year. That's the other part. They're going to find a way. They're not just going to sit and rest on their laurels and say, all right, well, we're the defending champs and everybody else can get better, but we just chilling. We're going to just keep our guys and that's it. They're going to find ways to continue to improve. Like, even just, they won the Super Bowl, but I think they realized that their receivers dropped more passes than anybody last year. So imagine running it back with wide receivers, you know, or maybe another running back for all we know. I mean, that's just offense. That was the youngest defense in the league. A lot of reasons to believe they'll be right back. Although I do like, you know, remember Antonio Pierce said that the Raiders got they set the blueprint for cutting off the head of the snake with punishing Patrick Mahomes. Christian Wilkins, loved that signing for the Raiders. Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby on that defensive line, absolutely love that pickup. But we got to wrap this up. I do want to talk about, at some point, maybe it's today after the show, maybe it's another day, Brett Reed, Andy Reid's son, and his sentence being commuted by the governor of Missouri. That just does not sit well with me, as I know it doesn't sit well with you and many others. It makes it really hard to root for the Chiefs as an organization. given the circumstances around this tragedy, I can't compartmentalize that. Nor should the league, nor should the Chiefs, nor should Chiefs fans. We should not continue to compartmentalize that story and ignore it, because it's not disconnected from the organization. That's the issue.
Yeah, you can't ignore the story. You can't ignore the story, but that story has so many ripples, so many circles to it. We got to get into it.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Should get into it one day soon.
All right, Mike, picking up the conversation that we ended the Peacock program with, and that's just my discomfort with the way this Brett Reed situation has been handled by multiple parties, not just Missouri Governor Mike Parsons, but also just the way we've collectively compartmentalized it, if you will. All right, so in case you're not familiar with the story, Brett Reed, this is Andy Reed's son. He's an assistant on the chief staff. He was also an assistant in Philadelphia and got in trouble there as well. He was Andy Reid's staff in Philadelphia. Back in February of 2021, he was driving while intoxicated, more than 80 miles an hour, collided with two vehicles on the side of an exit ramp along an interstate near the chief's practice facility. He severely injured several people, but most severely, a young girl named Ariel Young. She was in a coma for 11 days, sustained a traumatic brain injury. She's still dealing with a lot of challenges right now. So most recently, as in last week, Governor Mike Parsons commuted his sentence. He had pleaded guilty to a single felony charge of driving while intoxicated in 2022. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison in November 2022, released from prison, and now under house arrest until October 31st, 2025, and will be on probation. It's sickening that he's clearly getting off easy because of who his daddy is and how much the governor loves the team. It's really that simple. But beyond, you know, look, rich people, privileged people, famous people, connected people, whatever you want to call them, always, you know, get a pass. They skip the line. They get a pass. You know, they don't have to pay the consequences that regular people have to pay. But it's not just that for me. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they reached a settlement to help with some of the young girl's needs or what have you. But it's just the silence is just so deafening around the whole thing. Like, what has the league said about it? What have the Chiefs said publicly about it? What has anybody like actually said about it from an accountability standpoint, connected with the NFL? Who's actually condemned this? Who's investigated this? Who's even commented on it, Michael? It's almost like they're just expecting us to do what we always do, which is just forget about it and, you know, don't focus on the literal shiny objects over here, as in the Lombardis. You know, and I'm just like,
I
like a lot of things about the Chiefs. You know, our guy Ted Cruz been running PR there. You don't know who Ted Cruz is? He's the guy in every single picture at the Super Bowl. He's the brother in every single picture of the Super Bowl. That's Ted Cruz. Great man. I like Andy Reid. I like Britt Veach. I like the general manager. I know the owner got an F- in the recent player grades or whatever it was. But there's a lot of things to like about that organization, and yet this part of it just stinks to high heaven, and nobody is given a legitimate explanation or even a true public apology, not just that sentencing, but a true public apology that I'm aware of. If I missed it, I apologize. But a true public apology about, wait, was this dude drinking at the facility? You know? I can't with it. I'm speechless about it, to be honest with you, because it's like why is this not a bigger deal? I think about Ava. I think about Maya. I think about Savannah. I think about that could have been any little girl, or that's anybody. Right. How many times have you been parked on the side of a highway and some dude driving 84 miles an hour just changes lives irreparably? Irreparable harm to lives and gets to go on with his. All because the governor is a Chiefs fan?
And that's it. And that's it. You know, I think the larger issue, before we get to the NFL, I want to talk about society at large and how these things happen. And you want to talk about accountability. There's no accountability from the NFL, but how about the accountability from the governor? He does this, he commutes this sentence, and then doesn't talk about it. It can't get him on the record for a couple of days. And it has nothing to do with anything except for his fandom, because this is one of the rare instances where Republicans are outraged by it and Democrats are outraged by it. And they both are looking for answers for how this could happen. So this really is a case in our legal system. We know it, but just like in the NFL, those who benefit from this inequity in our legal system understand that this energy, we will not keep the same energy. They know we won't. So we have energy based on celebrity cases, energy based on something that affects us directly, but not necessarily our neighbors, or something that affects us directly. But eventually it loses its power. And they know that. Like, we know this. What we're saying about our legal system, what we're saying about some of our judges has been true as long as the United States has been in existence. That if you have the resources and if you have the connections, you will be able to get out of situations that truly leave others behind bars, forgotten about for months, for years, for decades. So that's one. The governor's a fan. Clearly, he's a fan, and that's why there's no other explanation for Britt Reid's sentence, 3-year sentence, to become a year and a half. Not even a year and a half. Okay, that's one. But then the other thing is compartmentalize. You said you can't compartmentalize. Unfortunately, I disagree with you. We all do it.
No, I'm saying we struggling to compartmentalize. I'm struggling to.
Okay, struggling to?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we'll do it, and then we move on. It's March.
That's what they count
on. We struggle to compartmentalize, but then there's another free agent signing. There's a trade. There's a draft rumor. Training camp.
Chiefs
season starts.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No.
So
shame on us for perpetuating
that
cycle. Shame on the NFL and the Chiefs for their deafening silence, at least from where I sit. And I hope that young lady and her family never have to want for anything again. All right, Mike, I appreciate you, brother, man.
And I'm with you. And I'm with you. One more thing. I think this is what we should say with, though. One more thing. With the Chiefs, we should demand they've got videos that they have not released of what happened.
Right.
Come on, release those. Right. Come on. You can't be after the game. And can I call some people out real quick? You can't, after games, say, I give thanks to my Lord and Savior and implore people to have a better life and to have a clear conscience and to devote themselves to something larger than themselves, and then ignore your neighbors.
Yeah, man.
You can't ignore your community. You can't live that. You can't speak that and then ignore the community. So come on now. You got to step up.
Yep. All right, man. Be good. Love you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you. Talk to you.
Did you hear that?
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Next, don't give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Next, don't give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.